This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Been the voice of the Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Montana takes the snap, back to throw, looking right, firing a pass, that a leaping grab, Willie Davis, touchdown Kansas City, Willie Davis made the catch, curled inside the right pylon, touchdown Montana Magic.
And his TD call is iconic all across the country.
Mahomes looks to throw it, pump faking, right side, he wants it, a comeback cut, it is caught by Kelce, touchdown Kansas City!
The voice of the Chiefs and Missouri Broadcast Hall of Famer Mitch Holthus joins The Drive every Monday at 4 o'clock.
We are very happy to be joined in studio by the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. Mitch, I was actually in the car yesterday. I was coming back from getting some food for the game as you were doing the open and they were doing the national anthem, and you could sense there was a different energy in the stadium yesterday. It felt pretty big. The game felt pretty big, and I thought the Chiefs really matched the energy of the game off the top. Mahomes is normally fired up, but he just seemed extra motivated to go out there. I don't know if it was the Colts. I don't know if it was Sunday Night Football. I don't know if it was Brady, but I thought Mahomes had a little extra pep in his step for this one.
There was a playoff feeling in that stadium last night. You don't always get that in the regular season, but it had that feel. And then there was so much emotion at that moment just because of what had happened, an hour south of there, in places we all love to visit and have loved ones, and just so devastating of what happened in the Fort Myers area and surrounding area. But that game just had all of the pizzazz, and you nailed it. It just felt that way. But it really started with the offensive line. Because, yeah, Mahomes had it, but the offensive line had it. I'm going to ask Andy Reid tonight about on the show. I just think that sometimes you take things personally in the National Football League. And that offensive line got off the plane, walked out in that stadium, and took that personally, what happened to him the week before against the Colts, and then Shaq Barrett's comments.
The Shaq Barrett comments, I think, are the most important part of the game. You got to go out there and play well. And we see bulletin board material sometimes that doesn't stick, and we end up never talking about it again. You could tell the Chiefs heard exactly what they said, and you could tell that the Chiefs took what the Buccaneers said very personally and wanted to physically impose their will against Tampa Bay. Ran for 190 yards against that team. That team hadn't given up more than 100 yards this season, and they completely dominated them up front. Football is very, very simple. Like, we make football way more complicated than it is. Can you control the offensive line of scrimmage? Can you control the defensive line of scrimmage? If you can do those two things, you will win a lot of games. I thought that's the best our offensive line has probably played since, you remember the game in Buffalo? It was like the Wednesday game. It was nobody in
Clyde
the stands.
Went for 164.
And the Chiefs just, we're going to run the ball today because of the weather, and you're not going to be able to do anything about it. This is the best I think their offensive line has played since then.
I think they ran it like 41 times in the game. If I thought, man, this is West Point, you know, running the ball, Smith Center High School. But there was just a mindset and an attitude. And Sir Wiley was left over from Super Bowl 55, but the other four were not. And Shaq Barrett kind of put Super Bowl 55 on those guys, and I think there was a feeling of, no, not this time. That's a really good Tampa Bay defensive team, don't get fooled. But they were all over not only Shaq Barrett, but Golston and Vita Vea. I'm going to tell you, had a really long night as I reviewed the video this morning on just 4 hours of sleep, was Lavonte David. He had a rough night. Remember the night Isaiah Simmons had it with Arizona? Love Isaiah Simmons, Olathe North. But the Chiefs had that dude, his head was spinning. And Levante David was trying to figure out finding his compass all night. They had that cat spun around. And Devin White is so good at linebacker, but he kind of wore down, and they were kind of getting at him too. But it was scheme, but it started with the offensive line attitude. And from the very, you nailed it, from the very first snap to the end, those Chiefs offensive linemen were bringing it.
I think it's hard a lot of times for just the casual fan, the normal fan, to evaluate offensive line play. One thing I thought NBC did really good on the broadcast was really highlight Joe Tooney and how well he was playing yesterday. That sometimes you can just notice this offensive lineman is pushing people. Mm-hmm. And I thought yesterday Tooney really helped set the tone. And to your point about taking it personally, guys like him who have really accomplished things in this league, for you to tell a guy like Joe Tooney, I can't notice a difference between that Super Bowl 55 offensive line and now that you're here, I thought Tooney above everybody took it more personal than the rest.
And they went right behind him. Power O's, sweeps, they were going behind him. And yeah, he I didn't see his Pro Football Focus grade yet, but it had to be up there because he was not only getting, you know, stoning the dude in front of him, he's getting to the next level and wanted to get there. Trey Smith, too, was playing on the bad ankle, but he had, you know, he struggled a little bit in the Indianapolis game, but man, he brought it again last night. He had Nunez Rochas a couple times. He just took him down like a 2-point takedown. It was, and then they didn't like it. The Bucs didn't like it. When you watch it on video again, and to your point, I wish we all as football fans could watch the offensive line play. I can't watch it when I do play-by-play. I can. I've got to follow the football. But I'm always anxious the next day because that's the only thing, basically, I watch. Y'all watch some route concepts. But I want to watch the line play. And this one, I laughed out loud a couple times and just enjoyed it because Trey Smith was pancaking dudes. So was Creed Humphrey. And not only blocking them, like destroying them. And the Buccaneers defensive front's a hard group to destroy.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire right now is on pace to run for almost 900 yards and have 500 yards receiving.
And that's with a 7-carry-0 game.
And have and have 21 touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
Rob and I were talking about this before you got here. It's simple to me. They've run the ball effectively and efficiently in three games. They won those games, I think, mostly comfortably. They didn't run the ball very effectively in another one. Their offense really struggled. Like, this offense might not want to acknowledge it, and fans might not want to acknowledge it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a really critical piece to what they do and their ability to run the football effectively. So either it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Isaiah Pacheco, who I thought ran really hard and was really impressive yesterday. If this offense can continue to run the ball effectively, they're just near impossible to stop.
Think Marvel Comics here because I think you need both those guys and then throw in McKinnon and don't Ronald Jones Jr. is going to show up in one of these games some point, somehow, some way, maybe a cold weather game and be effective in running the ball. But to me, Clyde and Pacheco are a perfect combination because you do have a little bit of the thunder and lightning going on. Pacheco's so impressive to me. Usually with a running back, C-Dot, you have got to explain to them pad level, then the physics of the pad level. Where am I coming at you as a defender? And you have to coach and teach guys to keep the pad level down. Not with him. He is coming right at your nose with his shoulder pads, and that makes him very tough to tackle. He's 220 pounds and runs a 4.37. So when he tags out and you get the tag team and here comes Clyde, and Clyde's running effectively. He's being more patient. He's waiting. And these guys were able to carry out their blocks last night, as we alluded to, but Clyde waited, and then hit it. You can tell that Clyde's playing with confidence. He's healthy. But to have Pacheco to tap out and then throw in McKinnon is really valuable to this team. But I'm going to take your point another way or take it a next step further. I'm going to do some research this week on it. Some teams, and this is going to sound like it's obvious, but hear me out on this. Some teams need first down efficiency more than others. Think of the Baltimore Ravens. We know that the Chiefs are different this year. That, not that they can't convert third and 16 for 64-yard WASP plays, but this is a team, at least right now, that has to be efficient on first down. Last night, they had 18 runs on first down for, I've got the stat here, for an average, it was crazy. I'll get it here. 18 runs for 104 yards. That's a 5.7 average on first downs. You go, well, that just makes sense because then you got third and short because they converted 12 of 17 third downs, and the average was 4.4 yards for a third down.
Just opens up the playbook for anything you want to do on
but
second and third down.
First down efficiency for some teams are way more important than others, and I think right now where the Chiefs are, first down, not just runs, but first down passes to get 5, 6. Think of the Arizona game. Same deal. But I'm going to go through every drive this week. I get some time and go through that first down efficiency model. And if they're hitting it on first down, man, look out, because they're going to come at you with everything they got.
Right now, we're joined by Mitch Holtis in studio, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. You and I have had this conversation about Steph Curry. And Steph Curry is different. There's a lot of great shooters in league history. You can just watch him and see you're different than everybody else. Mahomes does something like that to me once a week. You've seen all of Mahomes' plays. You've had a front row seat to NFL games now for 20 years. That touchdown pass that he had is one of the best ones that he's had in his career. There's just not a lot of people with the creativity, the athleticism, the strength, the ability to simply make that throw in that spot to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It is one of the best plays he's made so far in his career.
He's doing it staying within the scheme and the protection that's called. Okay, let's start there. I think he's gone way ahead of where he was in that. And so in that play, the scheme breaks down quickly because here comes a speed rusher from his backside. That's the first thing he does. So he buys time and scramble. We see him do that. Oh, wait a minute. Here comes Devin White ready to crush him. He sees him, feels it. He's got this knack. And he made him miss, which is really hard to do. So then he makes him miss, spins. So this is Steph Curry getting double teamed high and splitting the double team and then having a third guy run at him and spinning and hitting a three. That's what this is. And for him to have the vision, the instinct, stay within the scheme initially, don't bail out Maverick too soon, but this is Top Gun flying through those cliffs. I mean, his vision is unreal, the way he can see 180 degrees, sometimes beyond that, at an instant. And for him to do that and then to perform that play, no one in the league is doing that. Even Lamar Jackson, his prime, could not do that play, in my opinion.
To keep your Top Gun analogy going, to me, true greatness is measured by your ability to stay calm when things go wrong. Like, what made Maverick such a great fighter is there's all this chaos around you, but I'm going to stay steady and we'll complete the mission. You watch a lot of quarterbacks in this league, too. That is not normal. Mm-hmm. And typically, if the original play breaks down, then the play is broken down. We have no – you throw it out of bounds, something will happen. Mahomes' ability to stay cool and keep his feet just enough and be patient to get that extra split second to allow a guy to make a play is what really separates him from even other good quarterbacks in the league.
And his ability, the interception notwithstanding, but his ability to understand time, score, situation, he didn't run hardly at all in the first 3 weeks of the season. And I saw him at camp work on not running, like using the run as a deception, getting right to the line, just like the play to Clyde. He's right up to the line of scrimmage, which is impossible for a defender many times. He running? Is he pass? I don't know if he's pass. I got to stay with my plaster play here and cover everybody. But his ability, this is a next level for him, I think, of knowing when to run, not to run, taking it right to the line and then finding the guy and having that feel. He's getting that right almost every time. And to your point, there are very few humans who have ever played in the league that can do it, and even less now, I think, of all the great quarterbacks we've got in the league. How many people can really do that? And so, but last night, he did choose to run a couple of times when he needed to run. Those were huge plays to pick up first downs. But he had a feel. He saw the angle. It's the speed of the play. But he's not just running or bailing out to bail out or run. Everything he's doing right now is with a purpose, and it's super impressive.
How great is Travis Kelce?
Gosh, this is going to sound like hyperbole. Is he the most underrated player to ever play in this league? Well, I get all these comparisons. I'm on national shows, right, like you are, throughout the whole year. And they go, well, you know, I compare him to Shannon Sharp. And I love Tony Gonzalez. I called every one of his plays as a Chief. And I got some of his bros that will go, hey, dude, you got to back off on Kelce. Like, T-Guns. No, let's just stop it. Nobody's done what he's done, Travis Kelce. Nobody's done that. And he's blocking. He's asked to block a lot. Those three tight ends sets last night, I'm going to ask Coach about it tonight because it's become a real weapon for this team. And last night it was not only a weapon in the passing game. We saw Fortson. We saw Gray. those guys were blocking. That includes Kelce. He's not excused from that. He has to make the tough blocks, and yet he is just smoking all of these stats. He's blowing them all away. And so don't give me Sharp or Kittle or any of these guys. Kelce's by himself on some mountain, not Mount Rushmore, it's Mount Kelce. But he's so vastly underrated to me, one of the more underrated players to ever play in the NFL.
Because to me, it's really the combination of both things. Like, if you're asking me at their absolute peak, both of them are fully healthy, I would take Gronk over Kelce. But you have to not Gronk for the simple fact of Gronk dealt with injuries his entire time, that Kelce has been as productive as Gronk and been a far healthier player over an eight-year stretch. So even somebody like me who would side with Gronk if we're taking a best versus best argument, you got to give the nod to Kelce, because Kelce has done everything that Tony Gonzalez has done to some part up to, where he is in his career, everything that Gronk has done, everything is Sharp. And, I mean, we're now going on an eight-year run of him doing this.
If you Gronk has, didn't put up the numbers that Kelce did in the time span. Gronk was great, got it. But there's, to your point, either injuries or otherwise, there's blank spots for Gronk. Like, you'll look at a week or two or three or a stretch where not much happened. For Kelce, that's not the case. I mean, to have six straight 1,000-yard seasons and to do it again, to run routes on every route that you can run as a wide receiver on the tree. He can run sevens, eights, nines. He can run every route. They ISO-Y him a lot. He's against a corner. He beat corners again last night. He's beating corners. And then to ask him to block, like Coach Reed's asked him to do a ton of things, and he's doing them all well at this point. But to check every box and to check it at a high level and at the receiving level, to check it at a level that has never been seen by tight ends in this league, to me, he does not get enough credit. For the life of me, I don't know why somebody nationally doesn't take this on as a crusade and go, why are we comparing anybody to this guy? Nobody's done it on a consistent, high-level basis like Kelce in this span of 6 to 8 years.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holtis for a few more minutes here, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Was talking to Spector earlier. We were just kind of talking about last night's game. He told me he believes that Snead has become the third most important player on the team, that Mahomes is one, Kelce is two, and he thinks that Snead is the most important defensive player. This might sound crazy. I think Snead is their best pass rusher. When they send him off the edge, his ability to actually get home and affect the play and what he's being asked to do to cover guys on the outside and on the inside, I still think it's Chris Jones, but I don't think that Snead is a crazy answer to say that he's the third most important player on the team.
No, he's not a crazy answer at all, but I'm going to put Chris Jones ahead of him. Just because Chris Jones isn't getting three sacks a game, we think, wow, is he being effective? He is affecting the game almost every snap. He did again last night. And what I like about Chris Jones and where he's at right now is the fact that he understands that he's not chasing sacks. He's not chasing home runs and striking out three times. He's hitting doubles to the gap. And his consistency and his work ethic is affecting the line of scrimmage and permeating, like Nick Bolton tonight. I'm going to ask Nick about it. I think that's a lot of Nick's success, is Chris Jones is eating up there in front of him. Now, to Spector's point, and I agree with that, there is not a better slot corner right now in the league as a slot blitzer than L'Jarius Sneed. He is an absolute missile. He got there so quick last night, you know, and I didn't realize it until I watched the video today. He hurt Brady last night. Brady was hurting after that shot. Clean shot, but Brady stayed on the ground a bit, and he was wincing. I don't think Brady was the same after that play by Sneed. But he is so fast, so quick, and gets there. You cannot pick him up on those nickel slot blitzes. And from a pass rush standpoint, to create, I would take your point if it means create an explosive play on defense, which we've now seen him done, what, every week almost he's done it. So for this defense to create explosive plays, I would put Snead at the top. From a consistent defender affecting the game on every snap, it's Chris Jones.
Last thing here before we talk about Chiefs Kingdom, and maybe this is me psychoanalyzing Tom Brady. It doesn't look like he's having a whole lot of fun this season. You have seen a lot of Tom Brady, various stages, every stage of Tom Brady in his career. Does he look the same? Does it feel the same? Just watching him play, like just watching him on television. I don't think I've seen Tom Brady smile at one point this entire season. He just doesn't look like he's having fun playing football right now.
They threw the ball. Here's my answer to you. They threw the ball last night 27 straight times in a span of 29 football game minutes. My stat guys, the Haney boys, were on it last night. But it was like a 7-on-7 drill. I mean, I'm going to ask Nick about it tonight. It was crazy. And to me, that was part of the frustration. Like, okay, I'm out of sorts right now. There was no balance. He's always had balance. Even if it's throwing short passes to the running backs in New England, he understands the balance. What? You're just going to throw up 27 straight times? It's like he's just mad, you know, and I'm just going to try to wing it around. It was still a two-possession game, and they acted like they were down by 40 points. It was strange. And again, the vibe, and Mike Evans is so good. But Godwin wasn't himself. I think he was a little bit lined. So was Gage. You can tell he doesn't have Gronk. He doesn't have the, you know, if Brate is your guy that you're hanging on to, that's not real big. But it's like they just forgot Fournette and Rashad White, the kid from Center High School. To throw it 27 straight times is my answer to you asking me that, in my opinion.
I mean, they ran 58 plays yesterday, and Brady threw it 52 times. Like,
you don't do that. I mean, you can't do that in the NFL.
And with the way that the Chiefs' defense is playing right now, to me, you play exactly like once the Chiefs know they have you one-dimensional, the Chiefs' defense is now athletic enough and fast enough to be able to figure out what to do in that situation. Tampa Bay's offense, they look better than they've looked all season. They'd only scored 3 offensive touchdowns up to this point, but I know they're 2-2 and the NFC is far different than the AFC. I think Tampa has some very serious problems that their conference will allow them time to figure it out, but something about that team just feels off right now.
In that division, I mean, look at that division. What's there to challenge them, right? So Brady's back in the AFC East when there were no challengers. That's what it feels like. But let's go back to the defensive point. Because Brady, many times, think of James White, think of the dudes that he would throw to, whether it's Blunt or whatever, when he was in New England. The Chiefs did an awesome job, and it's not a very sexy thing, but to tackle in the open field. Fenton had 3 of them last night. So a lot of Brady's success has been in recent years, I'll throw you a check down or get you up the field or an angle or something at about 6 or 8 yards, broken tackle, now it's 12. They were not breaking those tackles last night. The Chiefs were outstanding in tackling in those flat routes in the open field. A lot of those were those 52 passes. Well, if he ain't getting that, you're not going to wing it down the field to Mike Evans 40 times a game and get 40-yard gains every time. Does not happen. So if he can't get those check down, then try to run the ball a little bit. But the Chiefs did a superb job of tackling and holding it to minimal gains when many times Brady will get a bigger gain that he gets credit for a 20-yard gain, 1-for-1 for 20, when he throws it for 6 and the dude runs for 14 more.
Mitch, what do you guys have up for Chiefs Kingdom tonight?
Nick Bolton, man. It's Nick Bolton. And I'm super proud of the dude, but he is just emerging and does subtle things. When I watch the video, there's just little subtle things he doesn't get credit for, but it's his ability to cover, influence a play. Last night, I mean, when you're defending 27 straight passes and you're wearing the green dot, because he's the communicator, he's the air traffic controller. Oh my gosh, I'd like to know how many different coverages they were in those 27 passes. But he has got to be able to communicate that. Or when they go tempo, they're not huddling, and now all of a sudden they're looking at Nick like, "What do we got? What are we in?" And Nick handles all that, and he's getting tackles. And if Snead didn't come in like a missile off a slot blitz, when he's coming on these A-gap blitz like he did against Indianapolis, he's getting there in a hurry and good things happen. I mean, he's emerging. It's so cool to see him. But I'm going to get into some of the things of his life. He was a born leader early on in his life. And we're going to get into that and discover how and why, because this goes all the way back when he was just a little dude. But he had to grow up kind of way too fast, but he's embraced it at every stage of his life in being a leader, and that's not always easy.
I think you can give Nick Bolton the ultimate compliment you can give any football player. He just makes plays. Like, some people pop off the screen, Some people you notice. And even back in Missouri, he was just always around the football, that those guys are always going to find a way to have an impact on the game. To me, that's the best compliment you can give a football player. He just finds ways to make plays.
Yeah, it's so productive and consistent. That's what you want. How many times do you ever see him, like, blow a coverage? Now, depth, I think, sometimes has been an issue. Does he get far enough, depending on the call? Maybe he doesn't get far enough back, or is too far back at times. I mean, that's a fine line. But I've told you before, his body type, to me, he's like a Sam Mills, who was one of my favorite all-time players in this league. He died way too soon. Remember, he was like a great saint. He was one of the original Panthers. Because Nick's not 6'3". But Nick is a force, man. But like a Sam Mills, and I – to give him a comp to Sam Mills is a compliment to Nick, because Sam was one of the smartest dudes ever and played just like, and was made plays, consistent, tough, and could make the splash play. But where Nick's at right now, I think he is on the cusp of greatness. And that greatness doesn't come from having 12 sacks. That comes from being a Pro Bowl, All-Pro linebacker in this day and age, where that is harder than maybe ever before in the history of the league.
That is Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs joining us on the show today. Mitch, you got a little freer weekend than you normally have with the Chiefs playing on Monday night.
I know, it's going to be crazy. Now, you pay for it the following week.
You definitely will.
You look ahead, right? You're looking on, you got to keep one eye on the Bills week. But, yeah, and you just, I don't know, you get home at 4:30 and get a nap and get up and let's roll and do it. But, yeah, you get the extra day. So I'll get a nap somewhere on Saturday maybe.
Coming up on the other side, my biggest question from yesterday's game, I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Hey, Kansas City, it's Travis Kelce. Don't miss my brother Patrick Mahomes and C-Dot every Monday at 2:15 right here on 610 Sports Radio. See you guys on Sunday.
610 Sports Radio.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Kansas City, it's George Karloftis, and you're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
I know I am not the only person that has this question. And it was impossible for me to shake this question as I was watching yesterday's game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Where in the world was Matthew Wright last week when the Chiefs needed him? If the Chiefs have Matthew Wright against the Indianapolis Colts, they're undefeated and considered to be the best team in the league. I was very impressed with Matthew Wright. He had a little boom in his leg yesterday. He played so well, I'd be willing to tell Harrison Butker, hey, you know what? Monday Night Football, why don't you take another week to get right and come back for the Buffalo game that could decide where the AFC Championship could potentially be? I'd be willing to even tell that to Harrison Butker based off what I saw yesterday from Matthew Wright. But I couldn't have been the only one that was thinking it. Yo, where was this dude? The Chiefs had to have brought him in for a workout at first, right? Whenever they first hired Matt Amendola, they had to have brought in Matthew Wright. You're telling me that you were more impressed with Amendola than you were with Matthew Wright? The Chiefs made the wrong decision. Rob, am I off here? If you could go back in time, and let's say that they have Matthew Wright as their kicker over Amendola, they beat the Colts, right? They beat them. Where were they hiding them? What was he up to? What was he doing last week? Do you think he was watching the game? Do you think he was free? Do you think he was working out? He wasn't on a team. He was just sitting around. There's just NFL kickers that are just walking around among us that aren't in the league. Like, I don't think there's a lot of guys who can play quarterback in the league who aren't in the league. They're already there. I don't think there's a lot of guys that are even playing like wide receiver or running back. Like, if you can do those things, you're in the league somewhere. There's just NFL kickers just walking around among us. Your next door neighbor could have an NFL kicking career and you don't even know it, like Matthew Wright did. I want to learn more about him. We need to have him on the show and learn more about Matthew Wright and where he's been and why he wasn't here last week.
I said this last week and it's moot now because so much has changed, but I don't know what the Chiefs saw in that first kicking competition that made them think Matt Amendola is our guy, because they clearly signed him and then thought, whoops, no, he's not. They didn't trust that guy from 45 yards. They bring in Matthew Wright, and he kicks, what, a 48-yarder? And according to the graphics, would have been good for him 52? It's not like, to your point, you know, there's seven wide receivers on a roster, five on an active roster, a couple more on a practice squad. So you're picking the bottom of the barrel for free agents. Nope, there's only 32 kickers on rosters. Guy 33, 34, 35 can probably still play a little. And for some reason, the Chiefs decide to sign guy 74 last week at kicker. And this week, they sign guy 33, and they're better. They're better because of it. I don't know what Dave Toth was doing last week that signed Matt Amendola and then all those fake calls. But you know what? It all worked out because he signed Matthew Wright.
And if you're Matt Wright, you got to be thinking too, sure, maybe there isn't a spot here for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, they're not getting rid of Harrison Butker once he get back healthy. But you're now auditioning for the rest of the league. If you put on a really good 1 or 2 week showing with Kansas City, maybe San Francisco picks you up. Maybe Minnesota picks you up. There's always a kicker that goes down or a guy that's not effective. Now you can step up. You're not just auditioning for the current team. You're auditioning for the rest of the league. I want to play this for you because watching the Chiefs play yesterday, it was one of the few things that popped into my head as I was watching the game.
During the finals, we go out to dinner one night. George Karl's over on the other side having dinner. Hey, there's George Karl over there. And George Karl does not come over and speak to him.
He walked right past me. Now look at my, really? Oh, so that's how you're going to play it. I said, it's a crock of shit. You know, we went to Carolina. You know Dean Smith. You know, I see him in the summer. We play golf. You going to do this? Okay, fine. That's all I needed. That's all I needed for him to do that. And it became personal with me.
Rob gone for a couple days and comes back trying to sabotage the show. That's what's up, Rob? You trying to sabotage the show?
Apparently, I sabotaged it in 2020 because I pulled that spray from that day.
What is going on here?
I was like, June of 2020, Jordan George Karl quote. Got it.
This is wild behavior. This is very uncharacteristic. It's not like you. The point remains, the Chiefs have the best ability of any team in the league to internalize insults, to internalize disrespect. In Jordan's case, some of it was manufactured. Athletes do that from time to time. Whatever you need to do to get yourself ready to play, I don't care. But this was a legitimate reason to be upset and angry. We talked about it during the week. I don't think that the Buccaneers had a lot of respect for the Chiefs' front offensive line. I don't think that the Buccaneers showed great respect really to the Chiefs' offense. I think it is obvious by the energy and attention the Chiefs have put on it that they heard you loud and clear, and they went out there with the intended purpose of proving you wrong. They went out there to embarrass you. They took what you said personally. They heard you. They know what you said, and you know that old adage of, we don't start fights, we finish them. The Chiefs don't really say things about other teams. Some of that's Andy, some of that's the personality of their leader and their quarterback, but the Chiefs don't really make headlines in that way. The Chiefs don't really go out of their way to say things about the opposition. The Bucs did, and they wrote a check that they couldn't cash. You call out the Chiefs' offense, you can't let them hang 40 on you the way that they did. You can't let them run for almost 200 yards. You can't let them run for 100 yards on first down the way that they did. The Chiefs' offense, outside of the Mahomes interception, did everything they wanted to that Bucs defense. The Bucs couldn't get off the field. You can't call yourself the big bad Bucs defense if you're 12 of 17 on third down conversions. Every third down conversion, third and two, got it. Third and five, got it. Third and seven, it didn't matter. The Bucs looked helpless defensively at times against Kansas City. I think what makes the Colts so frustrating is you know that there's a Buccaneers game in there. Like some of you that are parents and you got older kids, you know what your kid is capable of. So when your kid hands you a 75 on a paper, sure you passed, but you're used to A quality work. Like you're frustrated because you know that your son or daughter didn't apply himself. I think that's what was so frustrating last week about the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts did not beat the Chiefs in any capacity. The Chiefs allowed themselves to lose to Indianapolis. They turned in C work. They gave a C effort. They got a C grade. And maybe you needed that to refocus yourself and recenter you. All right, you got the Bucks this week. You got a Monday night football game against your hated rival, the Las Vegas Raiders. You got a 325 game in which the world is going to be watching the two best teams in the AFC go up against each other, Kansas City and Buffalo. Maybe that's what you needed. But it is obvious to me that the Chiefs heard what Shaquille Barrett said, took what Shaquille Barrett had to say to heart, and went out there for the focus of trying to absolutely destroy the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Coming up on the other side, we had an office debate that we'll let you in on and get your thoughts on. I'll tell you what it is next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Drive with CDOT. Tune in for Survivor League selections with Sean Barber every Thursday at 4:45 p.m. on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Your home for Chiefs football in Kansas City is 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
I'm going to give you guys some gambling odds. As you know, Kansas is hosting College Game Day. Now, I won't get into the gambling terms of it, but I think you'll be able to follow along. Paul Rudd is the favorite to be the celebrity guest picker. He has a 32% chance of doing it. Jason Sudeikis is second. He's at 25%. Rob Riggle is third. He's at 12%. Nikki Glaser is also on this list. She's tied with Rob Riggle. And Paul Pierce is fifth on this list with an 11% chance. Now, Paul Pierce was recently fired from ESPN, so I just don't think they're asking him to do it. I'm not saying that Paul Pierce is not a good person to be the celebrity guest picker. In fact, he would be a very good person to do it. I just don't think that ESPN is asking people that they fired within the last 18 months to do this. Like, I don't think they're asking Rachel Nichols to do the celebrity guest picker at her alma mater. I just don't think that's going down. So I'd be really surprised if they asked Paul Pierce to do it. I hope for everybody's sake Nikki Glaser is not the person that they have do it. I just hope for everybody's favor. I know she's had a great career. Salute to her. I know she went to Kansas, but come on now. Please don't. I'd rather you bring Todd Reesing back if that's what you're going to do. I'd rather you have Todd Reesing and Mark Mangino go up there and you just have a celebration of 2007 if that's what they plan on doing. Please don't pick her to be the celebrity guest picker. It's really between three people, Paul Rudd, Jason Sudeikis, and Rob Riggle. Now, Jason Sudeikis is in London filming Ted Lasso. I don't think he's coming to Lawrence for this game. I just don't think he's coming. Isn't the obvious choice here Rob Riggle? Paul just seems like he's a little busier, you know? Now, I don't know what he's doing, but he just seems like he's a little bit bigger. Rob Riggle he was born for the moment of being the celebrity guest picker in Lawrence for College Game Day. You're telling me it's plus 720? So I can bet $50 to win, what, like 360 on Rob Riggle to do College Game Day? Why would you not? Isn't that obvious that Rob Riggle's going to do it? Now, I will say this. I understand the Paul Rudd. He's the biggest star from Kansas. He's already got the Disney in. He's an Avenger. ESPN, Disney, Marvel, makes all the sense in the world. I think they ask Paul Rudd, and I think Paul Rudd just can't do it because of his schedule, and then they get Rob Riggle to do it, and Rob Riggle is the celebrity guest picker. You can get it right now at plus 720 for him to be the celebrity guest picker on College Game Day.
It just, I have no issue with Rob Riggle. Great first name, elite first name. But you see Rob Riggle as a KU fan so often at Lawrence, so often at KU events. He's synonymous with the school and is someone who's never seen College Game Day on their campus and may never see it again based on the Wisconsin and Nebraska jobs being open. I feel like it'd be a little bit of a letdown if they got Rob Riggle. I want Paul Rudd to do it so bad. Paul Rudd makes all the sense in the world. You laid it out. He already got a Disney contract. D23 or whatever the little expo was a few weeks ago. He was probably at that. So we know he's stateside, unlike Sudeikis. Please get Paul Rudd. And then please have him and Pat McAfee redo that thing where it's like, hey, who would have guessed? Look at us. That's what everyone wants. No offense to Rob Riggle. We've seen Rob Riggle do KU stuff. We want Rudd.
Text line 913. Where'd the thing go with the number? I don't remember what the number is. 586-7610. Where's the number thing? It was right there. I just always look at it. I don't know where it is. Someone said Bill Self is a no-brainer. Bill Self's not a no-brainer. Bill Self will be on the broadcast. There's no way they're asking Bill Self to be the celebrity guest picker. They're not asking him to do it. They will interview Bill Self over the course of the television show 100%. They will 100% ask Bill Self to do something. And believe me, you think that Bill Self is going to let them do a three-hour program on Kansas and he's not going to use the time to promote his brand? 100% they are doing it. They will do a inside Allen Fieldhouse. Hey, look at all the success that Kansas basketball and Kansas football have having. Bill Self is here. He will not be the celebrity guest picker. He will not be the celebrity guest picker. It's between Rudd and Riggle to me to get to do it. And I think Riggle just makes a lot of sense. I mean, maybe Paul Rudd's in town and he just makes it a weekend. All right, Kansas plays on game day. They've got a big game and Monday Night Football. I'll just be in Kansas City for 3 days. Cool, I'll get to do this. It's an incredible look. And then I'll just go to the Monday Night Football game. I mean, Paul Rudd, I bet if you asked ESPN who's their number one pick, I think they want Paul Rudd to do it. It's just, will Paul Rudd do it? I also wonder, are you guys going to break? Do you know who has the record for the most people that attended a college game day?
Isn't it Wazoo?
It's Missouri.
Missouri
has the record of most people at a college game day. The year they played Oklahoma on the quad, they had it there. Do you think that Kansas knows that? Do you think that someone has told the students of Kansas that Missouri has the record for most people at college game day? I don't know if they know that. I don't want them to know that. I don't ever want to tell them that.
I mean, I think they know now. I mean, I know we have a dozen listeners, but if they all tell a dozen of their friends, this thing develops exponentially.
I don't want more people at that event. You know what I mean? I'm not really pushing for more people to be there. There'll be enough people there. They don't need this show to promote it. Who do you say we have coming on from Kansas this week? We have somebody,
Kenny,
right?
Logan, preseason All-American.
Who do we have?
Kenny Logan.
Okay, Kenny Logan will be on the show. Are we having Deuce Vonnegut? That's all I really care about. Are we having Deuce Vonnegut? I love Deuce Vaughn.
I have reached out about Deuce Vaughn.
I love Deuce Vaughn. Somebody said, do you remember when Paul Rudd worked at Spencer's at Oak Park Mall? Is this real? This is really a thing? Paul Rudd used to work at Spencer's at the Oak Park Mall. Did you know this, Rob?
I did not. I mean,
the text line said it, so it has to be true.
Exactly.
I just didn't know that. I like Paul Rudd more than I did before this conversation started. And I love Paul Rudd. He's in Clueless. Come on, who doesn't like Paul Rudd? Paul Rudd might have 100% approval as a celebrity. I didn't know he worked at Spencer's, though. Good for Paul Rudd. All right. I know we're off early today. I'm not happy about it either, but I can't control the Royal schedule. We only have two more days of this, and then it will just be me and you, and you will get sick of me probably by Halloween. All right. Take care of yourself. I'll catch you guys tomorrow. It's The Drive.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.